Hey guys, it's Felicia. I just want to take a few minutes before we start the show to give you a quick update about what's going on with me. Yay! So, if you haven't already heard, I'm back in corporate America. Yay! I'm getting paychecks. Yeah, so sister needed a J-O-B. Because I have been super busy, I haven't been able to talk to y'all. There may be some emails I haven't got to respond to. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get to it. I just moved across the country and started a new job. So I hope you guys can give me some grace. Bear with me. I'm going to respond to your email. I promise. You have not gone unnoticed. I just have been super, super busy trying to get my whole life together. And with that said, over the course of the next couple of weeks, maybe a couple of weeks, we'll see, I will be replaying remixes of season 2 episodes, the most listened to and downloaded episodes. Some of you guys who are new to the podcast probably haven't had a chance to hear these. The great thing is my editor, Chris, is going to make these episodes amazeballs and edit them because last season I was editing myself. Whew, child. If you go back and listen to them, you could tell. So if you love it, email me at ask@trillionba.com. Let me know if you like this episode, what you like about it. If you like any of the episodes, what you like about them, I welcome any feedback, critique, criticism. Just don't curse me out, y'all. That's all I ask. So I want you guys to have a great week. Remember, you are awesome. Forget what anybody says. You rock. All you got to do is do your best, because that's all I'm doing. I'm just doing my best and let God take care of the rest. So I love you guys. Thank you for listening to the show. Now let's start this remix. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, AKA the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. And welcome to the Trill MBA Show. Hi, you guys. It is show number 3. I'm so excited to be with you here today. I have some great content for you. So all those people out there who are looking to go to business school, I have a very wonderful guest today from the consortium, and I will tell you guys more about the consortium during the show, and my special guest will give you all the details. I know these first couple episodes have really been about like getting your MBA, but that's not all what the show is about. It just happens to be how I ended up in corporate America. But I want to talk about like last week we talked about MLT, Management Leaders of Tomorrow. And if you think about an MBA timeline, MLT is like pre, you know, you're thinking about getting your MBA, you want to start applying to MBA school. What is that like? What, how do you do that? But now this organization we're going to talk about today is more the next step in that timeline, right? So this is moving forward in the timeline of going to business school. So this is, I've decided to go down the path to get my MBA. And I'm scared. I'm about to start applying. And what do I do? So I want to talk about an organization that, if you qualify, is a great organization. I am a member of this organization. I'm also a fellow from this organization. So we'll talk more about that because that fellowship means money. This organization is the Consortium for Graduate Studies in Management. And so today, joining me via Skype, straight out of St. Louis, Missouri, is Danny Young. Hi, Danny. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Felicia, thanks for having me. Yes, I'm out of St. Louis, Missouri, and I, too, am one of the Trillist MBAs as well.
Awesome sauce.
So let me tell you just a little bit about Dani. So Dani has worked in higher education for 10 years, and she joined the Consortium for Graduate Study in Management in December 2014 as the Director of Recruiting. So if anyone is listening and you're thinking about Consortium, don't bug Dani. She has a lot of work to do. She's saying bug her now, but trust me, if you told me that back in 2008, I'd be calling you every week. But she is tasked with managing the organization's efforts to connect and recruit prospective MBA students who embody the consortium's mission. And we're going to talk about that more. She has been instrumental in developing a targeted recruiting schedule, streamlining system processes, and implementing new initiatives to increase applicant yield. So basically, your job is to get people to apply through consortium to business school, right?
Exactly. It's pretty straightforward.
Awesome. But prior to joining the consortium, Dani worked at Washington University in St. Louis in the Olin Business School for 6 years in both the graduate programs, admissions, and student affairs departments. In addition to working at Olin, Dani completed her MBA from Olin in May 2015. Woo-hoo! As a proud HBCU graduate, Dani also holds a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration from Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri. And she currently resides in St. Louis, and she works for the consortium. So yay! Welcome, Dani. So Dani, the consortium, like, tell me, why did you decide after getting your MBA and you could have like all these great, like, you know, corporate gigs? Why? What was your passion that led you, you know, to working with such a great organization such as the consortium?
That's a very good question, Felicia. And just to be honest, it was because of the mission. You know, when I started I started the part-time MBA program. So I unfortunately didn't get a chance to go through the consortium because it's only for the full-time MBA program. But I had not even heard of the consortium when I was at WashU. When this opportunity came up for me to apply for the director position, I jumped at it because I was literally excited about the mission, the history, and then WashU being one of the founding schools of the consortium. It just seemed like a natural transition for me, especially after completing my MBA. So it was a no-brainer for me just coming into this role and really trying to help increase the awareness of the consortium and the visibility of it. Mm-hmm. So it was really a smooth transition. And I've been in academia for, you know, about 10 years now. So it's right up my alley. And it was a pretty smooth transition.
Cool. So I actually, this is what I really want to know about. In your role, like, what is it that, you know, you want people to know about the consortium? Like, because I attended a MAPS event, and so I figured, like, you're the person in charge of putting those events together, right?
Yeah, our recruiting team, we do have a hand in actually organizing the MAPS events and deciding, you know, what primary market we'll be in. So, yeah, we definitely have a hand in it. So that's what those events are for, to help folks who may not know about us learn more about us in the application process, learn more about the fellowship opportunity. So it's a MAPS event, and MAPS stands for MBA Application Preparation Seminar.
Oh, so, I never knew that.
Yeah, it actually stands for something, you know, so it's a bit of a tongue twister, though. Try to say that 3 times really fast.
Yes, MBA Application Preparation, what?
Yeah, seminar.
Seminar, okay. Yeah, so what is a MAPS event like?
So a MAPS event is essentially a 3-hour recruiting event. And so someone who's never heard of the consortium will want to come to a MAPS event so they can hear more about what we do, how we can benefit them as a prospective MBA student. They also have a chance to learn about the application process in more detail. And also they get a chance to connect directly with the school rep. So they'll sit through a consortium presentation and hear about what we do and how we can benefit them. But there's also a mini school fair happening as well, where they get a chance to connect directly with our member school reps from our 18 schools. So it's a one-stop shop. And they also get a chance to meet wonderful consortium alumni like you, Felicia, who can really, you know, give insight on their experience as a consortium student and whatnot. So, you know, it's a great chance to get some nuggets on applying to business school, deciding what school may be the best fit for you, and just really getting your questions answered. And so it's typically a three-hour event. And typically one of our corporate partners may host our MAPS event. And it's just a wonderful event. And if you can't come, we also have webinars. Mm-hmm. But if you can come, I would say definitely come to a MAPS event, because it's also a great networking opportunity for, you know, prospective students to connect with other students that are, you know, beginning that MBA journey as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to share my MAPS story. I went to a MAPS event in Chicago in, it was either early 2008 or late 2007. So 10 years ago, I went to a MAPS event in Chicago, and I met one of my dearest friends, didn't know it at the time, Janelle, shout out to Janelle Lofton, who lives in St. Louis right now, actually. But I met Janelle at the MAPS event, and we just stayed in touch. And long story short, we ended up being classmates at IU, and we have been friends ever since. So I met one of my best, you know, B school besties at a MAPS event. So you become this team of people that you kind of help each other find the answers, right, through the process. Because you get so much mixed information about applying to business school, which is one of the many reasons I wanted to do this show, is to really let people know, like, hey, everybody has an agenda in this, right? Like, even the consortium has an agenda in this. A lot of people's agendas are meant for good. Not the vast 99.9% of the agendas are, they want to see you grow in your career. They want to see you do great things. They want you to, you know, and then come back and give back and help the next person. Like, I think we all are probably on the same page with all of that. But sometimes how people see that come into life is a little bit different. And so you have to be strong in your story and what you want to do with your life so that you're not swayed by all the many opportunities that come along. I'm going to get a little more into that in the next segment. But what I want you to tell me about now, you mentioned this mission and you know, you're looking for people who are in this mission. So I want to talk about the consortium's mission because I want people to be really clear on what it is and what it isn't, and what it means, you know, to be a consortium member, if you get that far and are that fortunate. But what's the consortium's mission first?
So, I mean, that's a great question. And essentially, let me just start by saying this. The consortium is a very trail organization that is focused on diversity and inclusion. Let me just put that out there. And ultimately, our mission is to get more candidates of color, particularly African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Native Americans in these top tier business schools and in American business. Mm-hmm. So we believe that the best way to do that is by pinpointing individuals like you, Felicia, who have been champions for diversity, you know, in their communities, in their undergraduate colleges or their workplace. We want applicants like you who have championed diversity. And so with the support of our 18 member schools and our corporate partners, over the last 51 years, the consortium has been able to award more than $300 million in fellowship support to aspiring MBA students who embody our mission. So it's twofold. Yes. We're looking for candidates who have the ability to get into these top tier MBA programs, but also who embody our mission. So it's just not about can you get admitted. It's about have you demonstrated a commitment to our mission. Right. And so with that being said, we actively recruit MBA candidates to apply to business school using our common application. And I think you probably remember that common application.
Yes. Which so, it was a little tedious as far as because you are actually applying to multiple business schools in one application. So it does feel a little bit longer than one application. But the beauty of that application is that it's one application for multiple schools. So that means there's one application fee. So you can apply up to 6 schools and pay one application fee. That's for some schools, that's what you would pay for their application fee for that one school. So it really is a benefit.
Exactly. It is. And we say it's not a steal, it's a deal.
It is. Know? It is definitely and a deal.
Yeah. Exactly. And so candidates, you know, who have done the research, like as you mentioned, if you think about applying to multiple schools and applying directly to these schools, it can get quite expensive just with the application fee alone.
Yeah, definitely. So it's time for us to take a break, but I want to come back to this mission because I want to drive home a point. So, hey, you guys, stay tuned, and we're going to come back with more with Danny from the consortium. Gotcha. We'll be back. I want to share a review that I received on August 25th, 2019, by Lisa Brown 838, and I'm just so grateful, you guys. So the title of this review is Awesome and Much Needed and Thank You. Lisa says, thank you to this young lady. I love you for that. She says, thank you to this young lady. I wish I would have had such a form when I was younger. Every episode I've listened to, I also have experienced or knew someone who had a similar situation in the workplace, state government job. I enjoy listening to her show every week. Felicia is incredible, talented, fearless, and innovative. Well, thank you, girl. The information she gives her listeners as an MBA in corporate America or not, as a Black woman working, her show is extremely helpful, comforting, and real. Today's episode, 825-19, was phenomenal. Keep going, Felicia. I support your show 100%. Well, first off, Lisa, let me say thank you, girl. Like, thank you. I really hope that everything I put into this show is super helpful to everyone. And it has come to my attention that sometimes when I talk to you guys, you know, offline, off the record, that you feel like when I'm on the show, I'm actually sharing your specific situation. And I want you to know, if you ever hear yourself in the show, that is because there were many, 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 many people that were going through very, very similar things. And as Lisa has pointed out, there's so many similar situations in the workplace. So I do this and I create every episode with the multitudes in mind. And so if you do contact me for coaching or guidance, or you send me an email, just know that you are one of many. And it has come up so much that I have to address it in the show. And I will continue to do that. Because you are not alone. It is not only you going through these situations at work. And you would be surprised at how many times you could take one person's story and just swap names, and it's the same exact story. It's pretty scary, you guys. But I want you to stay positive. I want you to keep leaving me reviews. If you listen on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you can leave a review, wherever you can rate the show, wherever you can share the show, please continue to do that. Because my only goal is getting the information that you need to help you survive and thrive in corporate America out into the world so that we can all have somewhere we can go and get the help that we really, truly need without feeling a certain kind of way or without being dinged. So I love you guys. Have a great week. And let's get back to the show. Welcome, guys, back to the Trill MBA Show. Today, I'm very fortunate to have my guest, Danny Young, from the consortium. I love the mission. And before we were talking about the mission of the consortium is a commitment to promoting the inclusion of African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Native Americans in American business. So underrepresented minorities in business. That is the consortium's mission. But during the break, Danny and I was talking about, like, just because you may identify with one of these groups does not mean you are automatically admitted to the consortium.
Denied.
I think you need to say that again, Felicia.
Just because you are not. just because you black don't mean that you're going to just get in here, right? You ain't did nothing for the culture. And now you think you just going to get to go to business school on a fellowship. No, that's not how this works. You need to be out in the community supporting in some way, supporting education of underrepresented minority youth, supporting causes that drive growth in the community of underrepresented minorities, supporting underrepresented minorities in business and in other industry. Like, you need to be actively involved. And this is why this is so important to me, because we are trying to build leaders who are going to give back. Wouldn't you say that's right, Danny?
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. The goal is to, like you said, build leaders that will give back. And it goes beyond business school. It's mm-hmm. once they get that great job in corporate America, you know, our goal is hopefully they'll decide to become a partner with us, or maybe they'll continue to be an advocate for the consortium. So you are absolutely right. We don't want people who talk the talk. We want them to continue to walk the walk.
Yes. And so, I mean, I have had Caucasian classmates who were consortium fellows, because they walk the walk and they also believe in this message. So if you are a Caucasian person or an Asian person or somebody who's not an underrepresented minority, but you are down for the cause of uplifting these communities who have been historically depressed and deprived in this country, then you would be a candidate to be a consortium member. And so, yes, come work with us, because this is what we're working on trying to do in our little segment of the world. We're just trying to make a difference one person at a time. So I'm very excited to have you here today, Danny. I want to keep talking with you about OP. I want to know about your first OP, because once you get in, you're accepted. Do you go to this thing called OP? So tell me, like, what's OP? And then I want you to tell me about your first OP.
And before we jump into OP, I just wanted to make sure listeners were clear about who can apply to the consortium.
Yes.
And as Felicia mentioned, any person that can demonstrate a commitment to our mission is welcome to apply. But you have to be a U.S. citizen or permanent resident to apply.
Yes.
And you must also have a bachelor's degree from an accredited institution. So those are the two main guidelines that you must have to be eligible to apply. But as Felicia mentioned, it's not restricted to African Americans, Hispanic Americans, or Native Americans. Just wanted to make sure everyone was clear on that. But yeah, OP, oh my gosh. what can I say about OP? Or we call it orientation program, but internally it's called OP.
Right.
And so this is a chance where all of the new consortium students across the 18 schools get a chance to come to a 5-day conference that we have each year.
In
June, early June. And so my first OP experience as a staff of the consortium, I was blown away. You know, this is a $1 million event.
Yeah.
Let me first say that. This is a $1 million event put together by less than 20 staff people at the consortium.
God bless y'all.
And so, yes. And so we're working all year to organize this event for new consortium students, because it's a chance for them to really get a jump start on their career search and their job opportunities. But it's a big networking opportunity as well. So as Felicia mentioned, you get a chance to connect with other consortium students across the member schools, and you get a chance to make lifelong connections with them. And not only that, you get direct access to our corporate partners. So this is the 5-day conference in which you're going to attend workshops and seminars on business related topics, but you're going to also get a chance to attend a career forum at the end of OP. And that's a chance for you to get in front of our corporate partners and really have the opportunity to possibly walk away from OP with an internship offer, or maybe even multiple internship offers.
Mm-hmm.
So OP is just like, it will bring everything full circle for you. You'll understand and be proud that you are a consortium member by just attending OP. And then you'll also feel like you're at an advantage compared to your classmates, because when you start your MBA program, you're going to have that jump start on your job search before many of your counterparts. So OP gives you that opportunity. So it's a wonderful experience. Like I said, when I experienced it, I was just blown away by the pride, the how some folks were nervous, understandably so, because it is very intense.
It is.
It's a 5-day conference, so there's going to be some fun involved, but we also have you there to work, right?
Yeah.
So many folks are nervous, and but they're also excited because they know that they're going to walk away with some valuable opportunities and some lifelong connections as well.
Right.
So I know Felicia, your OP was probably, what city was it located?
It was in Dallas. It was in 2008. It was Dallas. I'll never forget my OP because I landed at the airport and I used to live here. So I had a friend pick me up from the airport. And when I was waiting for her, I had sat down once I got my luggage and I had my wallet in my hand and I sat down and I set my wallet down. And then when she came, I had my phone in one hand and I grabbed my bag. I left my wallet at the airport.
Oh my goodness.
And I never saw it again. Never, ever saw it again. But it's good. I'm from Texas, so that made it a lot easier. So I was able to like get a temporary driver's license from DPS here. So if I was going to lose my wallet, it was kind of the best way for it to happen. Cause I actually had like a support system here. Like if it was in Arizona or California or somewhere other state, I would have been screwed. So I was so nervous, but it was amazing. And I made some of the best friends of my whole entire life at OP. And I made some great connections with not only companies, but like the people there. And what it taught me was a couple things as on the student side, right? Like come to OP with a plan and come to OP prepared. So what I'm hoping, Danny, is that later on somebody logs in and they listen to this, right? If they're thinking about consortium or they're, you know, in the process now and they know they're going to consortium school and they know they're going to OP, like my hope is that you will find this on the internet and you will hear this. So prep for OP. And what that looks like is, even if you don't know what exactly you want to do when you graduate from business school, look at these companies, know these companies, and you want to know these companies because these companies have made a financial commitment to come and meet you. And when I say financial commitment, it's not just, oh, they gave money to consortium. No, they hired staff. They have staff there. I know for me, when I work, every company I've worked at have been involved in the consortium in some way. And if they weren't, I made them. So my first company out, they didn't know it, but I was like, y'all will now recruit from consortium. Let's just be real clear. And I led the whole thing, you know, with HR. So, you know, but that is, it takes a lot for the people who are passionate about consortium in the companies to bring the company along. And so a lot of work and preparation on the corporate side has gone on, or it should have gone on. Let me say it should be going on, to come meet you and come see you and come find out, like, you know, this next level of talent that's coming through the ranks. And so you as a student, if you want to take full advantage of this opportunity to get ahead of the curve, get ahead of the game, then you will prepare. And your school will have a very rigorous program for you to prepare for OP. All the schools do. They have, you know, they'll have calls and people recognize you're still working full time, maybe, at this point, but you really do need to do your due diligence so that you set yourself up for success. And I, unfortunately, I'm keep a trail. I didn't quite do all what I could have done. I did prepare though. It wasn't like I didn't prepare anything. It's just, I didn't know really who I wanted to be when I grew up. And so that if you're, you know, career switching and you're trying to figure it out, that's when it's harder. OP is harder because it is before you even have one class. But then my very second question is, okay, so if you're serious about this, have you taken the GMAT? And so, Danny, enlighten us, because I thought you had to take the GMAT to get into business school.
You know, times have changed. So, you know, our member schools now, they accept the GMAT or the GRE. Ooh. So it's really a matter of just researching which tests you think you would do well on, and knowing that the GMAT is more quantitative. So if you're not really strong quantitatively, maybe consider the GRE, but all of our member schools and many other business schools in general accept the GRE. And in terms of preference, there's really no preference attached to whether they want you to take the GMAT and GRE. The GMAT is more expensive than the GRE, but wow. In general, the key to the test is basically preparing and really studying, and don't schedule a test date without giving yourself time to prepare.
Right.
I actually did that one time. I just took the GMAT cold turkey. And
oh.
That was the dumbest decision
what
of
was
my
that,
life.
What was that score like? Keep it true. Okay.
Right. You know, it was just like, wow. I think I got my name right. That was it. But
well, you get 200 points for that.
You know, I mean, hey, I was trying to take what I can get. But, you know, but real talk, you prepare. You know, there are a lot of folks that rush into it who don't adequately prepare.
Yeah.
So take it really serious, because that is one of the components that the schools will look at. Aside from your GPA, aside from your work experience, they will look at that GMAT or GRE score. So you want to make sure you have a competitive enough score to where, you know, you're going to have a chance at being considered for admission. And then most of our applicants, to be quite honest, Felicia, they take the test more than once.
Oh, yeah.
That's a trend we're seeing, where they're taking the test more than once. Yeah, it can be expensive, but they look at it like an investment. And each time they take it, they get a higher score.
Right.
So it either or the GMAT or GRE, but just my biggest advice is to prepare, prepare, prepare.
Right.
There's so many resources out there where you can start studying and just, you know, taking a little bit of time each day and trying to really understand the questions and time yourself as well. So
right. And so I actually personally have developed like a personalized GMAT bootcamp that I'll be posting here later this week when I post this show. But it worked for me. Like I had practice tests. I started out practice tests like 300, 400. Like it was so terrible. And I had ended up my practice test, I was hitting like 710, between 680 and 710. Now my dummy self, no, let me tell you about my dummy self. So it was, I went to take the GMAT on a Saturday, right? I had it all set up. I was feeling good. My test center, the alarm, the fire alarm kept triggering and going off during the test, but I didn't care because I was in the zone. Like I was in it. I was like, yeah, boom, right, boom, right. Man, three fourths done. I'm almost to the promised land. I'm almost done with this. My 700 is here and coming. This lady says, I'm sorry, everybody, please stop your test. We're going to have to reschedule your test. We cannot have you taking your test in these test conditions. It took all the Jesus inside. All of the Jesus inside. So then when I went to retake the test, it was like a Tuesday after work, which is so dumb. Don't do that to yourself. Like, set yourself up for success. I just felt like I just needed to get it done. So I ended up getting a 6'10" and I'm like, I could have done so much better, but I was just tired and cranky and mad. I had to retake it and it was just a hot mess. And so I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, set yourself up for success. Make sure you study and be real about it. And I also, the nugget I try to give people is that understand what kind of learner you are. Because if you're an audio learner, like if you're the type of person, if somebody tells you something, that you'll remember it that way. But, you know, and so somebody can talk to you and teach you, and like that's the best way for you to absorb information, then go pay for one of those classes. Like, go take a class, right? But if you're a visual learner, like I'm a visual learner. So for me, it really was about practice, test, practice, because I just needed to see it over and over and over again. And then I would look at what I got wrong, and then I'd work to understand the test maker's logic. Because the thing about the GMAT is, it's not the correct answer, it's the best answer. Which is so subjective. The way they write that test. And so you sitting up there like, but that should be right. Like, that makes the most sense. Oh, not for these people. And I personally think these people who make these tests are evil. So if anybody out there, if your mama makes these tests for a living, I'm sorry, but there's something wrong. But Danny, I want to talk about, before we wrap up, I really want to talk about, like, I want to make sure people understand that GMAT isn't the only thing, because I made a 6'10". So for all, and then I went to a top 20 school. So like, you know, in my undergrad GPA, it's nothing to write home about. Let's just say I made it well enough to where if I needed to be a teacher when I graduated undergrad, I could actually do that. Like, I barely had enough GPA to become a teacher in the Texas school system. Mm-hmm. So my undergrad GPA was not great, but I got into a really good school because I had a decent score and I was a candidate and I had attributes that these business schools are looking for and companies are looking for. So before we go, let's tell people, like, what type of attributes you need to have to be a successful candidate for business school.
I mean, yeah, I'm so glad we are able to touch on that. So, you know, having served on the admissions committee, when reps tell students that we're looking at your application from a holistic perspective, believe them, because they are. You know, not just having a low GPA or a low test score may not disqualify you. They're looking at multiple things within your application. So if you don't have such a high GPA, maybe try to make up for it with your test score, and vice versa. If you don't have the best test score, maybe your work experience really speaks volumes to what you can do. And then being able to write really great essays, that's a key component of the application as well. So there's multiple components where you have a chance to really shine in the application. My best advice from a recruiting standpoint is to really take your time with the application, particularly the consortium application, because there are several components to it. Right. And you really want to spend a good month, I'll say, filling out the application and taking your time to make sure you answer the questions directly. Making sure you're reading the instructions, make sure you're following directions. If we say provide your official transcript, make sure you're requesting the official transcript. So part of the application, I would say the biggest part is just making sure you give yourself time to really take your time and go through it and not rush through it. But from an admission standpoint, school reps are really looking at your application from a holistic standpoint. The consortium, on the other hand, when we get your application, we're looking at your membership essay and your admission recommendation. And so those are the two things that we're looking at to determine if we want to extend consortium membership to you. So after you've gained admission to at least one school, the next phase is we're deciding if we want to extend consortium membership to you. And so that's where that demonstrated commitment to our mission comes into play. We want to see, have you not only talked the talk, but you have walked the walk. And right. you've shown a progression, you know, maybe at the undergraduate level, maybe in your current job. And then what are your plans while you're in an MBA program, in terms of our mission and beyond the MBA program? So being a part of such organizations like Teach for America, MLT, NESP, National Black MBA, Urban League, NAACP, SHIP, Prospanica, Forte, being involved in organizations that have a similar mission to our mission, that's a great opportunity to write about how you were an active member in those organizations. And if you were a tutor, you know, in an after-school program.
That's what I did.
You know, so there's multiple ways you can demonstrate that commitment to our mission. And maybe you just talk about your life experience. You know, how have you been a positive role model? How have you helped, you know, combat some of those perceptions of underrepresented minorities? How have you been a role model in your community? So that's a key part of the application as well. Not only getting admitted, but also looking at the membership guidelines and writing a really stellar membership essay and picking a really great recommender who can also back you up when you talk about how you've been a champion for diversity.
Yeah, that, and that's key. And so really taking your time, and the consortium application has two deadlines, right? And they're the same every year. They don't change.
Yeah, they don't change. The first deadline is October 15th every year. The second and final deadline is January 5th, and that's every year. And there's really no, you know, we encourage applicants to apply when they're ready. Mm-hmm. So the major advantage of applying in round one is essentially that you'll hear about admissions earlier from schools. Yeah. That's the major advantage. Other than that, we get 80% of our applications in round two. And that's because most applicants are taking their time to prepare. They're picking strategic recommenders. They're taking their time with their essays and pulling together their resume. So there's a reason why we get 80% of our applications in round two. So if you're not ready come round one, don't apply for the sake of applying early.
I totally agree with that. And I applied in round two. I got in. I got the fellowship. It was great, you know. And I would say that holds true for the vast majority of business schools that you're going to apply to. If they have a round one and a round two, I would say applying to round two, round one. Some people say some schools, there may be an advantage because of the way that they fill their classes through the rounds. But for most schools, that's not the case. And if you're a solid candidate, you took the time, you did your due diligence, you have strong recommendation, you know, you really thought out your essays and you have a logical story and you've really told us about yourself, then, you know, you have a solid package put together to turn in for the application. So you should, you know, feel really comfortable in that. So, Danny, we're getting close to wrapping up the show. I can't believe how fast this time goes by.
I know.
I really appreciate you for doing this because you don't get paid to talk to me after business hours.
Hey, it's like I said, I'm very passionate about the mission. And so, you know, as you're doing, you're providing the platform and you're continuing the mission by helping inform others of the consortium. So it's when you're passionate about something, I'm sure you're agree.
Yes.
It's not a matter of, you know, of time or money. It's just, it's what's in your heart. So I'm always available and willing to help in any way I can.
Awesome. So Danny, give us, the social media and like how to connect with you and the consortium.
Yeah. So first of all, our website is wonderful. Yes. That will be one of the major starting points because we list all of the member schools, all 18 member schools on our website. We also talk about the history. We have the application process and components. And there's also a link to the actual application from the website. So our website is www.cgsm.org. Very simple.
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, there's also links to our social media. So we have a Facebook page. We have Twitter, we have Instagram. So from that website, you can connect with us as well. And then my information My email is youngd@cgsm.org. So feel free to email me directly, or you can give us a call. The number's on the website as well. Yeah. So that's what we're here for. I have a staff, 4 people on our recruiting team, and we're here to give you more information about business school. So don't hesitate to email or call us, and continue connecting with wonderful alum like Felicia, because they're also a great resource as well. And they're one of our best recruiters for the consortium alum. So definitely connect with them, connect with student liaisons. We're here to help at any time.
Yeah, and tell a friend. That's what I always tell people. Once you learn about the consortium, once you learn about MLT, exactly. Once you learn about Forte, tell a friend. Share the good news. Exactly. Be a good steward.
And on our website, mm-hmm. You can refer someone on our website as well. So like you said, it may not be for you. Maybe you know someone, a coworker, or some, or a family member that may be interested in applying and potentially receiving a fellowship as well.
Awesome. Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining the show today. Listen, everybody, the consortium was like life for me for business school. It was my lifeline. And it continues to be. Every position in corporate America I've gotten afterwards has been partly because of my consortium network. So it's not just a network. It's truly a family. I'm very grateful and thankful for the opportunity. And if you have any questions, please feel free. Email me, thetrillistmba@trillmba.com. And this has been the show. Thank you. We've had a great day. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Consortium. And we are out. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.